Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 474, Power Rangers Ninja Steel. Power Rangers Ninja Storm, which is very close but different.
Very different, I hear.
A Samurai's Journey Part 1? I knew it was one or the other. The Samurai's Journey Part 1.
It aired May 24th, 2003, written by Jackie Marchand, directed by Paul Grinda.
Paul Grinda. That's Paul Hoagie, if you're from New York.
Paul Sub Sandwich, depending on where you are. I like Paul Hoagie better. Paul Hoagie is what I would call Crocodile Dundee's actor. Paul Hogan.
is Hoagie New York, or is that like...
I honestly don't know. I know like it's a Grinder.
Maybe Hoagie's like a Midwest.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just it's a Grinder up in New England. So like,
yep.
What else do you need to know about it? If you're new here, hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
We call subs Grinders, which is a super New England thing that you don't realize until you leave New England.
Which is an incredibly specific local thing that, on the one hand, seems normal, but on the other hand, maybe doesn't actually make any sense. It's hard to tell. What we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. You can come back. We will definitely come back. You can if you want.
Look, if you only want to listen to 10 minutes of us talking about Grinders.
I get it. You know, follow your bliss. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along if you have Netflix or the DVDs, which a lot of people have been doing, apparently. Because Ninja Storm, good. Asterisk. There was a couple dumpy episodes.
Asterisk. Mostly.
Mostly good. Couple dumpers. Last one picked right up. I'm hoping we ride that train all the way home. I hope we don't have any more dumpers left. In this, I know that's unrealistic, but you know, what if it's not?
I mean, In Space pretty much did it.
I'd have to look at the list again, but there was definitely the Seymour episode and the grandma episode, which were dumpers.
Oh,
so
I feel like the grandma episode was kind of laid in too.
I feel like the grandma episode was like early, and the Seymour episode was like
one of them
deep in there. Yeah,
one of them was like, here's the setup for the finale. Here's Seymour, and now here's the finale.
And then I think that was it, because grandma episode was like four. Because I remember us being like, did they forget to make this episode during Turbo? Is that what happened? Anyway, we're gonna go watch Samurai's Journey Part 1 right now.
Ninja Storm Ranger form.
And we're back. We just watched The Samurai's Journey Part 1. Maybe we talked about the first people to eat chickens and chicken eggs for like a second when we came back. It's fine. You can hear that in the Frankencast at some point. HeyJakeAndJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there. You can listen to old episodes. You can listen up through Lost Galaxy. And I have it on good authority that someone's on quarantine. So some other episodes should at least make it into an RSS feed.
I don't know who started these rumors.
You did, with your mouth. You said if I could go on quarantine, maybe I'd get them up.
Maybe.
And now you are.
Maybe implies also maybe
damn,
not.
You got me. Look, you got all the fossils you need. just make an RSS feed for volume 3. I don't know how you got all the fossils, because I've been playing the same amount of time.
I don't have them all.
You're missing two, but like that's much different than me, where all I have gotten for the past 4 weeks are like four Packy Skulls every single day. I haven't gotten a new... I don't think I've gotten a new one in like a week and a half. And it was like, you got a Sabertooth Tiger Skull. And I was like, dope. And I was like, don't expect another new thing again, Jake.
I think I had a couple of like good days late in where it was like, you need like 8 more fossils, and these next 2 days are both going to give you 3 new ones.
Must be nice. Also, I've only caught like 1 new bug in the last week because a scorpion attacked me.
I got 2 new bugs left to get that came out this month. I don't think there was a lot for bugs.
I need to see a list.
One of them is only on a stump, and the other one is like that big birdwing butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
It spawned today and like flew over the river, and I was like, God damn it. And so I pulled my net out and I chased it across the river, and it flew into
the ocean. Just flew away.
Nope, flew into the back of Hans's house, and I was like, yes, I got you. And as soon as I got to it, it just faded away.
Ah, I got trapped. Sometimes they get trapped. Anyway, heychickenjosh.com, that's the website. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on Alma Podcast. We're on Google Play sometimes. We're on Podknife and Podbay and Stitcher and Podjar.
I don't know. I don't know why jar.
Because there's a jar in the episode. I was just reaching for things. And sometimes you grab something and you bring it in and you go to take a bite out of it, but you thought it was an apple and it actually is a flower.
It's a potato. And you go, oh,
if I held my nose, they might taste the same, but they don't if I don't. Also, this one's all dirty.
Yeah.
Because I didn't wash the, I just pulled the raw potato out of the ground and just
this
scrummy
one,
down on
this
it.
This one is an earth style apple.
Yeah, this is the apple. Regular apples are actually wind style apples, and then this one is an earth style apple. And I guess cranberries are water style apples.
I guess
cranberries grow in water.
Apple juice.
Apple juice is water style apple. I don't know why I walked past that. Anyway, this is a Monday episode. It's the first part of a three parter. We're not going to do any extra stuff today. Because we have to record another episode right after this, which is the first time we've done that in a grip, because someone had to fight a mouse very late, so we couldn't record last week. So we had to push everything up, so we're just trying to get back on track.
It could have been anybody.
It could have been anybody again. Who knows? I see your mouse-catching kit is not behind you anymore.
No. No. We didn't get it. I just don't know where it is. And the cats, like, the cats haven't sniffed it out yet.
Now the mouse just lives there.
Yep. Until it decides I'm going to go outside of the cabinets or wherever I am.
Yeah.
And Tucker's like, you've made a grave mistake. Because he's
waiting for this day.
Tucker has already gotten killed one before, so.
Nice. Tinkerbell, my mom's cat. Like, we watched as, like, a mouse came out and, like, my old cat Sally, who was a murderer. He was an outdoor cat. So, like, there would be dead things all over the yard all the time. But then he was getting old. He just went into the woods and never came back, because outdoor cats do that.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm just going to not bother anybody. I'll see y'all later. So he was like sitting on the counter and there was a mouse on the ground and Tinkerbell was there. Like, what do I do? And he's like, you got to figure it out. This is going to be your job soon. And I guess he didn't train her quite right, because her favorite thing to do more than get and kill the mouse is to get the mouse, throw mouse in the air, bat mouse around. Bring it into the bathroom, throw it, kind of play with it for a while.
That's what Bella does. She'll catch it, because we've had, this is like three or four mouse events we've had here now.
Yeah. Well, you live out in the sticks. That's where all the mouses are.
Yeah, yeah. Bella will catch it, and she'll like bring it into the room where we are, and then she's like, okay, you've seen that I've got this for you. Now I'm going to torture it.
Now it's gonna tell me what I want to know.
Yeah, I'm gonna let it think it got away, but I'm gonna get it again. And sometimes I'm just gonna toss it straight up into the air, and it's just gonna, all its tiny little legs are sticking out.
Poor mousey.
Yeah. And we had one a little while ago, a few weeks ago. We had two, actually. And we got one because it ran in here and it like got stuck in the bottom shelf of my Amiibo display back here. And so I caught it. I caught it in that Twinkie box and I brought it outside and let it out.
Yeah.
And then we had another one that same night.
Might have been the same one. Just turned around, came back
in. It was a different one, because the first one was like brown and white and the second one was solid gray.
Okay.
And Tucker like got that one, but it got away. And then we couldn't get it. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to bed because it's like super late and I'm tired. And I don't want to stay up with a mouse all night, especially when we don't know like where it went.
Yeah.
And then the next morning I went out to get them their food and it was just dead on the kitchen floor.
And Tucker just there like, got it.
Yeah.
Can I be on your podcast now, Dad?
Yeah. He was like, look what I did, Dad. Now give me. And then he ran over to the food bowls. He's like, now feed me.
So anyway, we're going to jump right in. I know it doesn't seem like it, but we're doing that now. We start off with the Rangers, all in that like that 70s show style turnaround, where they're all like in a circle something.
They've lit the incense.
Yes. Wink. We don't know what they're doing.
They're eating sandwiches.
Yeah. yes. We don't know what they're doing for a second, but they're like, never going to happen. There's no way this is going to work. And I thought it was going to be like Cam lifting something heavy. That's what my like go-to thought was. But actually, it's Sensei who like karate. Did he chop or kick? I don't remember.
I think he chopped it.
He like karate chops a big marble slab in half.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, but you are a guinea pig. How did you do that? And he's like, hey.
These ninja tricks.
And Tori's like, it's because strength comes from the inside. And I do think that no matter how much inner fortitude you have, a guinea pig cannot summon the force needed to break a slab in half.
No, but he has so much mental strength.
He can find the weak spot and punch it in that.
It's his inner ninja power, which has proven to be actual magic, I think.
Yeah,
this
it's
season.
Literal magic. So it's a little cheating. Hunter's like, I can probably try that. Because they're like, you going to do it, Hunter? Huh? What do you say? Because Hunter was talking some smack. And he's like, yeah, I'll try it. I'll give it my best shot.
Hunter was like, he can't do that. He's so little.
And he did it. And they're like, are you going to do it, Hunter? And Hunter's like, I might. Let me try. And he tries and he just smacks the thing with his hand. He's like, oh my God, that hurts so bad. I hate that I just did that. And then Shane's like, doofus. And they're like, oh, what about you, Shane? Shane's like, oh, yeah, I'll try it. And so he goes to do it, and he punches it, and he does the same thing. He's like, God, that sucked so bad. And then we get, like, a couple flashes. Like, Tori does a chop, and she's like, she hits it, and she's like, that wasn't it. And then she's like, holds her hand, like, ouch. Yeah. And then Blake headbutts the slab.
Blake smashes his head on a slab of marble.
He hits it, and he comes back up.
I feel like this is how they're writing in why his character is just dopey now.
Because he brained himself. I think this is definitely like an homage to
Bulk and Skull.
No, to like I think I've seen either. I think it was Bruce Lee did it, or he just like headbutted a whole thing. Maybe it was Jackie Chan. I know Jackie Chan loved breaking a bunch of cinder blocks and stuff with his face, but I think just like the like you hold your head and you headbutt and like you do that. And then, but Blake did not do that. Dustin didn't even try.
Yeah, he was
Dustin
like,
knows
no.
what he's about.
I thought he was the one that headbutted it until, like, I realized like he doesn't have any yellow on.
Yeah, and he pulls his head up, but he's holding his face, so you can't really see. But his hair's too short, so it's got to be Blake. And then they're like, okay. We cut up to space where Capri is just berating Mara for being nice. And Mara's like, I'm not nice, I'm evil. And then Lothar's like, no, you're both evil and great to be around and pretty. And they're like, and then Capri's like, hold up a minute.
Mara's eating it up. She's like, yeah, we are.
She's like, yeah, feed this to me like grapes. And then Capri's like, wait a minute, this is a prank. This is punked. We're being punked right
she
now.
She says, are we on one of those hidden camera shows? And so then, they watch Earth TV.
They do. They want, this 2003 punked had to have been on.
2003, oh yeah, that feels like that's like peak punked.
I feel like it kept going for a couple years, but that was when it was like the thing. There's a second Lothar all of a sudden.
Yeah, the second Lothar is
real Lothar.
He's sitting on his throne laughing at how they fell for his compliments with the fake Lothar.
Yeah.
Punk premiered in 2003.
Okay, so yeah, so it was like hot then. It was
yeah,
popping off. So the Lothar's like, you fell for it, you dummies, look at you, you're all idiots. And then the second Lothar turns into a monster whose name I never got.
Oh, I can tell you what it was.
What is it?
Madtropolis.
Okay,
my favorite Tears for Fears album.
They kept saying, like, I guess they were saying Madtropolis, but at best I heard Matchbox 20, and I can't explain why.
The problem is supposed to sound almost like Metropolis.
Yeah.
But Madtropolis, the D and T next to each other, they
bump up against each other.
Yeah, it's like putting two North magnets next to each other. They just like, they won't go together.
So I just heard Matchbox 20. I called him Ranger Dranger. because he drains the Rangers in a minute, and that's really the only thing I had for him. I guess he's a city. He looks kind of like a building, kind of.
Yeah, his head, like the top of his head is like a city skyline.
Yeah.
And the rest of him is just like a monster. I don't know.
Yeah. So we come back down. The senseis are like, hey, you're close. Maybe, you know, maybe someday you'll be able to break the marble slab if you keep trying. And they're like, ah, I don't know. And then we hear like a crash behind, or we don't hear a crash behind. We cut, like, turn around. The camera turns around. And Cam just like chops through this marble slab. And nobody believes that it was Cam except for Tori. Everyone is like, where's the real one that you switched that out for?
One of them is like, you shot that with a laser or something, right?
I think Shane said that.
You broke that with some nerd stuff.
And then Dustin's like, oh, you probably switched it out. I saw that at a Hollywood Studios stunt show one time. And then I think Hunter's like, yeah, it's fake. Where's the real one? And Cam just throws half of this marble slab at Hunter.
Throws a piece of it at him.
He grabs it. Oh, okay, it's real. And he's like, just because someone's not a power, it doesn't mean they're useless. And he turns around and walks away. And Tori goes after him like immediately. And we like hang on the rest of them for a second, and they're like, Sensei, what's up with Cam? And Sensei's like, well. And then we cut outside.
Yeah, I think Dustin is like, why is he so mad at us? And Shane's like, he's always mad at us.
Yeah. Which is true, but this is, I think, different. Tori goes up to him. And she's like, hey, what's up, buddy? You all right? He's like, no, I just want some respect around here. And they're like, we respect you. We can't do anything without you. And he's like, it's not the same. I'm just the guy behind the computer. I want to, like, do something. And she's like, you want to be a Power Ranger? He's like, well, yeah. Who wouldn't want to be a Power Ranger? Especially if all of your friends are Power Rangers. Seems like a pretty raw deal if you're the only one you know that's not a Power Ranger.
And they were chosen by your dad, who tells you you can't.
Specifically, you are not allowed to. And it's like, okay, you got a point there, Cam. I get that. So then we cut back inside, yeah, and we're getting like
it does that thing where it's like, here's two sides of the same conversation.
Yeah,
because Tori tells Cam, like, well, have you talked to him? Like, try talking to him. He's like, I tried, he won't let me because,
yeah,
he's like, because, and it cuts inside, and Shane's like, because
you won't let him be a Power Ranger because of your wife,
because his mom's dead, so you say no.
And he's like, yeah, but I mean, I guess when you say it like that, it sounds stupid, Shane, but yeah, that's basically what's up. And then what I like about this next part is that Dustin's like, Sensei, that's weak.
Yeah.
That's some weak sauce.
Sensei is like, do any of you have anything you need to say to me? And Dustin's like, yeah, that sucks.
That sucks. And then like Hunter and Blake are like, you should trust your son who's like a good, look, he just chopped a marble in half. Like, he knows what he's doing. It kind of sucks that you're not letting him be a Power Ranger. And they're like, oh, okay, now that you're all telling me this all at once, I guess I can see where you're coming from. Then we cut back to Tori and Cam, and Tori's like, you gotta go talk to your dad. You gotta tell him, like, for real, this is how you feel, this is what you want. He's like, okay, but if he doesn't listen, I'm not cleaning his hamster cage out for a month. Which, number one, gross. Number two, you have to clean up your dad's poop, and that also gross.
That's very gross. I feel like one thing that they're not taking into account, and like, Sensei definitely knows that a way for Cam to be a Power Ranger does exist. It, like, it's implied that he knows something in this episode.
Yeah.
And by implied, I mean Cam is going to straight up say that to him.
Yeah.
but the other Rangers, like, have no knowledge of any other morphers or power sources. But they're just like, tell your dad you'll be a Power Ranger, and I'm sure he'll make you one.
Yeah. It's not like the, you know, maybe there's some other academy out there that left their morphers around, and we can use those, because there was only the three here, if you'll recall.
That would have to be the Fire Academy, right?
Right, I guess, yeah.
Just running out of elements here.
Yeah, again, you know. Especially because the wind one has three elements baked into it. It's kind of eating up all the elements there. Wind Academy?
Sensei Guinea Pig?
So they turn around to go in to talk to Sensei. And then Mara Capri, Madtropolis, and a bunch of Zackies show up. Boy, I don't like that name. It's a bad name.
It's a bad one.
It's just like, you have to stop and think. I'm just going to call him Matchbox 20 from now on.
Yeah, so Rob Thomas is here.
Rob Thomas showed up.
Rob Thomas and the Space Nieces are here.
It's 3 a.m. He must be lonely. They show up and they start attacking. They, like, blast Cam and Tori, and they get, like, sent flying. And they get up and, like, immediately square up, and, like, Cam does, too. Then the other Rangers, we go to commercial, come back, and the Rangers, like, join them. And they're like, do we need to morph? And they're like, yeah, you should. And it's just kind of, it's a, like, the Rangers should know something is up. If they're like, yeah, get stronger at us. Do it. See what happens.
Yeah. So when they first get there, Capri's like, we're, like, totally going to destroy you now. And then immediately turns to, oh, that was Mara. Mara says that. And then immediately turns to Capri and is like, was that good? Did I do evil good?
Was that good? Was that evil enough, please?
Capri's over it. She's like, whatever. But yeah, then they're like, are you going to morph? Like, do we have to beg you to morph? And Shane's like, no, we'll just do it if you want.
So they do it, which is a bad plan. They start fighting. At some point, they all kind of get grouped up. So it is all five Rangers fighting Matchbox 20. And I guess Mara and Capri are, like, off to the side, like, shooting lasers at him, whatever. And then it's 15 to 20 Zackies fighting just Cam. Seems like maybe the Rangers' priorities are a little skewed.
Yeah, because they tell Cam to, like, get out of there. And he's like, no, like, you saw me break a marble slab in half.
Yeah.
Like, I can help.
I can punch through a Zacky head. That's fine.
And I feel like if he had one more Ranger for support, he would have been fine.
Yeah, because the only reason he's, like, taken down is because, like, five Zackies grab him all, grab all his limbs and spin him. And then this is when Matchbox 20, this is the jar from Podjar, the ill-fated podcast service that didn't really land.
Yeah, if you listen to an episode on Podjar, it just saps all your energy.
Yeah, it just drains you.
You get really sleepy.
Yeah, it's like listening to NPR. That's
just like, yeah, just a general news.
Just a real bland. Just here's the news as it is presented by another sleepy man.
Here's stock market analysis.
Oh, God. Just you saying that made me want to go to bed. So he pops open the lid of the jar. The Power Rangers color all gets drained out of them, and they unmorph and they land on the ground unmorphed. And they're like, cool. Later. And then he dips. He just leaves. So Cam, like, gets them up, and they're, like, pale, and they're like, what's that? I'm so tired.
Yeah, they're all
so
sweaty
tired.
And tired.
They're like, all right, we're going to get you inside. Let's go. So he gets everybody inside, and they're like, yeah, y'all's energy is gone. They're like, we got to get him. And they're like, Shane, your eyes are closed, man. Like, you can't really do a lot of power ranging right now. And he's like, well, we got to. And Cam's like, all right, I'm gonna override some stuff in the morphers to give you a temporary energy boost. It won't last for very long, but it will at least keep you on your feet for, you know, a little while. Because they see the on the viewing globe or the viewing screen or whatever, they see Matchbox 20 down at a factory somewhere with the jar full of powers and a bomb.
He's like, I just have it.
Got him. I'm gonna blow him up. They morph.
Would that work? Can you just blow up the concept of powers that you have trapped in a jar?
I mean, maybe? I don't know. See, there's a lot of rules about Power Rangers that just don't make sense.
Yeah, the jar itself that the powers are trapped in is itself like a bomb.
Unless it's...
Or it at least looks like an old sea mine.
Yeah, it does. Well, it's got like a... like now it has like a full-on like...
Or a big bumble ball.
Right. It's more round than that, but there are some little bumble ball bits bopping out. Maybe it's a thing like in the second episode of Power Rangers where they get sent to Bones Dimension. They're like, we're going to blow the dimension up so you can't get out. So maybe it's like if we blow up the jar, they're trapped in the thing in a dimension with no way out.
Because that's probably just like Jubo's backpack. It's just a door.
Right, yeah. He's like, there's a big fuse, and he lights it. He's like, I'm going to blow him up. And he's standing right next to it. So, like, Matchbox 20 is not very smart.
Because he's the villain from a 1920s cartoon.
Right, yeah. He's like, next, I'm going to train Tori to the train tracks.
Yeah, I'm going to light this 26-foot-long fuse.
There's, like, a red flash, and all the Rangers are all there all of a sudden, and Shane has the jar, and he pulls the fuse out. He's like, not today, Matchbox 20. Not on your life.
Push me around, will you?
So he banishes them to the Shadow Realm for not appreciating Matchbox 20's deep and enriching catalog. Which their greatest hits album is good. It's straight up good. I don't know any of their not hit songs, but their hits were good.
I know Push, obviously.
Push, 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
How far we've come.
How far we've come. Smooth with Carlos Santana.
That's a Carlos Santana song featuring Rob Thomas.
I guess that's true, but it feels like it would also be on Matchbox 20's greatest.
Honestly, probably. There were a lot of other ones.
There were. I remember Real
World.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were around for a while.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. I like Matchbox 20.
Yeah. Not this one, though.
Not Madtropolis. I don't like him. He sucks.
Yeah. He banishes them to the Shadow Realm.
He was introduced as his power is he can take any form, the form of any other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now we're in the Shadow Realm. It's just Shane, and Madtropolis is like charging at him.
Yeah.
And he slashes Madtropolis, and it turns out to be Dustin, I think.
It's Blake and Hunter are the first ones.
Okay, Blake was the first one. And he's like, oh man, I totally thought you were Madtropolis. So his power actually is that he can make other things look like him?
They say very nebulously when he turns back into him from being Lothar, they're like, he can make illusions that you will think are real. And that's literally it. That's all the explanation on his powers we get. And so I guess we're just supposed to be like, yeah, whatever illusion stuff happens, be cool with it.
What a strange power for a city monster.
That is my question, right? Like, why is the big city, Bright Lights Big City, Matchbox 20, why is he illusions? I don't get it. This goes on for a while, because like Blake and Hunter are not Matchbox 20, they are Blake and Hunter, and then Tori and Dustin run up, and they're like, there you are, we're going to kill you, and they're like, no, it's us, but then we cut to like their POV, and we see three Matchbox 20s, so they're like, let's get them, they attack, and there's like some fighting, but then once they get it, like the illusion wears off, and they're like, oh, it's Shane, ah, no, Beans, but then there's like this part where everybody else turns into Matchbox 20, and Matchbox 20 is also there.
Yeah, so there's like a few shots of them fighting and like turns out that they're hitting each other because of the illusions or whatever.
Yeah.
And at one point, Shane is like, well, this one's got to be him. And it's like, buddy.
You don't know that.
And so he hits it. And that's the one I think that was Dustin.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, like the whole shtick has been every time it's been another Power Ranger. You're so dense.
Y'all need to come up with like a secret hand sign for if you're ever illusioned, you can throw right. up this like cool hand signal and people be like, ah, that's the real one. But also, this is when Sensei calls Shane in his brain.
Yeah.
Which he can do, which he's done before.
It's like in Ninja Turtles.
Uh-huh.
When Splinter called the turtles in the campfire.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to die.
Please come back.
And I love you, Turtle Boys, so much. And then they go back and they save him.
And they save him. Because they were
and
like...
He's hanging on Casey Jones and he just goes, Casey. And he's like, just met this guy. And he's
yeah.
like...
You're all right, Casey Jones.
Maybe I'll watch that movie today.
It's a good one. It's a good-ass movie. Remember how they go to the farm in that movie? Just like there's a bit where they just go to the farm? Which
it's
is
like
great.
A third of the movie. They're just like in retreat because they got their asses kicked.
Yeah. You call this here?
Raph is like dying in a bathtub.
For like a long time.
Yeah.
Because like, didn't the house burn down on top of them and that's when they leave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Raph got jumped on the roof by himself by like 100
foot
soldiers.
By like 40 foot soldiers. Yeah. Gosh, that movie rules. Anyways, this is not that, but it is Splinter calling... Leonardo, he's kind of Leo, right?
He's a little bit.
Shane's kind of Leo. And he's like, Shane, you got to focus and your inner ninja will tell you that which one is real. And he's like, okay. And then he turns and he shoots the real one. And they pop out of the Shadow Realm.
His visor opens so we can see him focusing.
Yes.
Which seems unnecessary because it's just so he can shoot him one time.
Yeah.
And then they're back to the real world.
And they wish it would stop hassling them. Sorry, I had to sneeze during that good Matchbox 20 joke that I was about to make.
Where did we decide this was? Like Venice, right? Somewhere like
it's like Long Beach.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
I don't know if there ever was a real world Long Beach.
I don't know.
It did San Francisco, but that's a different Power Rangers town.
That's Silver Hills. Hills.
Yeah. Kilver Hills.
Kilver Hill. So the Kilver Guardian Department. Oh, it's so weird. So they shoot him, and then they start having like a sugar crash, basically, once they're out of the shadow. I'm like, oh, our energy's all gone. Ah, dang. Oh, no. And he's like, cool, now I'm going to kill you right here. And they're like, hold on, wait a minute, no. And so then they're like, hold on, wait a minute. What if we just big cannon? And they pull their big cannon together, which is like all three of the regular Rangers and the two Thunder ones. So it's just like a 7-foot long cannon.
It's just five guns.
Yeah.
Like it's a gun centipede that they make.
And so then he creates like a bunch of them. He's like, aha, but which one of me is the real one? And they shoot all of them at once.
Yeah,
they're like, don't matter.
He's like my ultimate ninja trick, and they just kill him anyway. Nothing.
He's like, ah, pains. We cut up to Lothar, who's like, God, son of a bee sting. And he hits the aim button, and he sends the instant message down to make him big. Then we cut to Cam for a second. He's like, hey, we need to get that jar back here because your powers are in that jar.
Yeah, and throughout the fight, he's telling Shane at least once or twice, like, hey, you've got to conserve energy. And Shane's like, I am fighting a monster, Cam. I don't know what you want from me.
There's only so much I can do about that. So Shane's
it's weird that he stole their powers, literally drained them of their color, and Cam is just like, I'm just going to, like, overclock
The
your circuits or whatever, and, like, you'll be fine for a little bit. But it barely comes into play that their powers are gone.
I think maybe instead of it being their powers, like, it seems like it would be, because in Power Rangers, when you drain the color from a Power Ranger, like, that's their power, right?
Yeah.
But I think this is just, like, their inner energy.
Maybe.
So they definitely cannot break any big marbles now.
Well, no.
It's all their energy's in a jar. So he's like, hold on, I got a new teleportation system I'm kind of working on, and maybe I can teleport the jar back to Ninja Op, so at least that'll be safe.
He hits a couple buttons, and the jar disappears out of whoever was holding its hands.
I think it was Shane.
Yeah. It just pops out. But then he, like, loses it in the nothing.
Yeah, he looks back at the table to see if he's like, okay, it's not there yet. And then we cut to the Rangers, and they're like, all right, gotta get the Zords. So he's like, hold on, let me send you the Zords. They send the Zords. They get the Megazord. They start doing their thing.
But Cam also is like, there's no way you'll survive a Megazord fight. And Shane is like, Cam,
bro,
what do you want us to do?
We gotta. So he's like, all right. So he sends it. While they're doing their Megazord fight, Cam's like, all right, I got a lock on the jar. And he finally, like, catches it in the aether, and he teleports it in and lands on the table. It's weird because there's, like, a shot of the table. He turns back, and there's, like, a shot of the table. And in the middle of the table, there's, like, a little thing. And then in front of that, like, centered, there's this little, like, box that looks like a pedestal. And
it looks like a platform.
I thought the jar was going to appear on that, and it appeared slightly to the left of that. And I was tricked, I feel like. I was like, oh, you got me. So they go back to fighting in the Megazord. They're like, Cam, we're on our last legs here, man. We need something. And Cam's like, all right, I'm going to send you some protection, but it's literally all you can handle right now because you have no energy left. So he hits some buttons and he sends them a thing, and the sphere pops out, and it's a big scarf. Shane's like, this is a big scarf, Cam. He's like, that's all you can handle. You don't have any energy for anything but a big scarf right now.
It like cloaks them, though. They use it to a pretty good effect.
Yeah, then they, like, throw it at Matchbox 20, and it, like, wraps around him and, like, slashes him as it whips away. It's pretty neat. But then they run out of energy, and they collapse, and I guess they get shot out of their Zords because they don't have any energy left.
Yeah, you need to have the power to stay in there, or else the Zords will reject you.
Yeah. Cam's like, we got to do something. Like, Sensei, there's got to be something we can do to, like, help them. And since it's like, well, there was a power source from a while ago, but it was destroyed, so that's probably not going to do anything. And Cam's like, why are you telling me about this then?
Yeah, this is when he's like, you know something, tell it to me.
Yeah, he's like, enough with your riddles, old man.
I will kick you, you are a guinea pig.
You are a little guinea pig. And he's like, and then we cut up to Lothar real quick, and Lothar's like, hey, Zergane, we're winning. why don't you crack a smile for once? And Sergeant's like, I don't have a mouth. I cannot do that. Just a little weird aside.
It's so weird, the little gags that they put in.
Yeah, there's a lot of bits. Little bits that I think are pretty funny. So we got back to Cam, and Cam's like, oh, a scroll of time. I'll just get a scroll of time. I'll go back in time. I'll get that power source before it was destroyed. Boom, boom, boom. It's all good.
So he, like, ninja runs over there and is, like, parkouring over the furniture. And Sensei just jumps from the computer desk to the railing.
Like, 24 feet straight over.
On the balcony that this one bookcase is on. It's a really strange setup.
It's, like, a balcony, but there's like, a little platform. And it's just, there's literally just a bookcase in the corner. And I guess that's where all the scrolls are. Because at one point, Tori was looking at a scroll and she was over there. I think that's just where all the good, cool scrolls are. So, like, Cam, like, jumps at the balcony and is like, oh, and Sensei's like, no, no, no. The scroll time is extremely powerful. We cannot do that.
Does he say something like, maybe it's going to happen in a minute, because spoilers, Cam's going to use the scroll of time to go back in time. But he says something like the butterfly effect. Like, if you do something then, it, like, something now is maybe going to be different than what you are used to.
Yeah, and Cam's like, hey, Dad, real quick. Give me one other option that we have.
Yeah, the whole world's gonna die.
I'll risk going back in time. I'll get it. I'll bring it back. No one will even notice. It'll be fine. So then Cam uses the scroll, and like it pops open, and he gets like sucked in, and everything freezes. Like the Rangers freeze outside. Matchbox 20 freezes outside. Lothar and Mara and Capri freeze for like a second. They're like, why did everybody stop? What's going on down there?
Is it cuts to them and they're all perfectly still, but then Mara just turned and is like, what happened?
What's going on? And Lothar's like, ah, something's up.
That is a very good bit.
It was extremely good.
It landed perfectly.
So then Cam jumps in the scroll and he lands outside of the Ninja Academy, outside of the little entrance they have.
It felt to me, and I guess I'm just not that familiar with the, like, waterfall secret entrance area. Because there was, like, palm trees or something?
Yeah. This is where that Tori brought Blake to.
Yeah, yeah. It just felt like, because he went back in time and he landed. And I was like, oh, he's, like, way back.
I was like, yeah, he's in dinosaur times.
I was like, he's going to have to fight, a raptor to get this artifact or whatever.
Ninja dinosaurs.
That's not what happens.
No, then like a regular ninja is there on a horseback. And I'm like, maybe he's only in Shogun times then, because they called the Samurai Journey. So like,
right.
Maybe that makes sense. I guess we'll find out next time. But there's just a ninja on a horse there. And Cam's like, ah, cool.
Got me.
And then the episode ends.
Yeah.
So Josh, you started. Mm-hmm. I get to pick the best. Boy, we cruised through that one just like we thought we would, which is good because we do have to record another one immediately after this. I'm gonna say the best is the fake out, the freeze frame fake out.
Yep, that's what I was gonna say too.
It was really good because like it legit got me because it's like when it showed the Rangers frozen, like they're like drained and they're like frozen, but like. It shows them and it pans around them, and then it shows Matchbox 20 frozen, and it kind of pans around him, and then it gets to Lothar and Capri and Mara, and it pans around them, and then Mara's like, hey, what happened? Why did Matchbox 20 stop moving?
Because I was thinking, I was like, how much time did they freeze? Because it's hanging on them, and they're in space, and I was like, how far does this go? And apparently, it does not leave the atmosphere.
Well, it might, because either that or like the ship is protected.
Like it could be.
Because it's like
a force field.
Yeah, it's like an evil ninja ship. So like who knows what it's got.
They have time keepers.
Time is on their side. The worst I'm going to say is Matchbox 20 setting up that he can use illusions. He can use his illusion to turn into other people, but then never does that again.
It does the opposite. It turns other people into him.
I thought it was going to be like a secret, like an infiltration thing. I thought he was going to take Cam's place. I guess we already did that with Tori, but like still.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like they set up a lot of stuff in the first half and then paid off different setups.
Yeah.
a little bit in the second half.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to worse Madtropolis as a whole.
Yeah, he's not great.
I think his name specifically is okay.
Yeah, fair. It is a bad. It's not a. I get what they're going for, but it feels bad to say. MVP. I'm gonna say Torrey. I'm gonna give the MVP to Torrey for number one being the only person who believed in Cam, and number two, going to Cam and be like, "Hey, what's up? You seem upset." And then number three, being like, "Just tell your dad if you want to be a Power Ranger. Just try that again. Like, yeah. we'll get your back." Like,
yeah, because she says like you like really have a heart to heart with him. Like, you really have to sit down and tell him like this is what you want.
Yeah, don't do it while like a monster, like a plant monster, drinks some good mineral water and turns into a monster behind you.
Don't turn to your dad while we are being beat up by a monster and say, "Hey, I want to do that." Yeah. Maybe that's a bad time. I'm gonna give it to Cam.
Okay,
it's because he did break a marble slab with his bare teenager hands, and he has not been shown to have actual like ninja magic abilities.
No,
he's just like a really good martial artist.
He just got that good martial arts strength,
and he stayed and fought monsters even though he has no powers, which is like a favorite thing of mine.
Always into that, yeah.
And he went back in time without even knowing like what he's even doing there.
Yeah, and like
he was like, "I know I have to go back because there's a thing I need to get. My dad didn't tell me what that thing is."
Yeah, he has no information. He just knows that there is a power source back in time at some point in time. We don't know when. Maybe it's – I think he's in Shogun times. I think he's like legitimately in like the 1700s Japan.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't know because it's the same Ninja Academy. I guess we'll find out at some point. But yeah, Cam did a good job. Now we just got to do a soft ranking on this episode of Samurai's Journey Part 1.
I think it's okay. I think it's a little confused.
A little bit, yeah.
On what it's trying to set up. Because it feels like this is part one of a three-parter, but other than the cliffhanger ending, everything it set up was paid off within itself.
Yeah, the only thing that they didn't wrap up is that the monster's still alive and the Rangers don't have their energy back, but like they have the jar back. They have the energy jar.
Yeah, they just need
in
to
their
open
possession.
It.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's a good like time crunch now that they're on. So like to set up part two is like we got to get it. You know, we got to do that before, or else the energy will never get back to them or something.
Right.
So I'm thinking around Looming Thunder.
Yeah.
Probably to a storm area.
Like right in the middle of those?
Yeah.
I think that works.
It's weird having Prelude to a Storm be this low, because it was the first episode. It was extremely good.
Yeah.
I just feel like because it was the first episode, we're like, well, it has to do all the work, so it doesn't really get to do anything cool.
Right.
Yeah, so coming in at number 7, tentatively, Samurai's Journey Part 1. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. This is a three-part week. Hopefully this three-parter, the third part is necessary to the other two parts, and you know we don't have to we don't have to be like, oh great, that third part could have been a different one and it would have been fine.
We'll see.
I guess we'll find out. We're gonna go watch the next one right now and go do that. But until Wednesday,
may the power protect you.
Is that burp going to finish, or was that it?
That's it.
I guess that was it.
Now you got half a burp to deal with.
Just kind of sitting in here.